Welcome to NeuroStories, the podcast that highlights the people behind neuroscience at the Walton Centre. Together, we will lift the lid on the complex worlds of neurology and neurosurgery and everything in between, hearing fascinating tales of the incredible staff and services carried out in the hospital every day.
Hello, I'm looking for Charlotte.
Ackerman.
Yeah.
Hi Sam, I'm Charlotte, I'm one of the occupational therapists at the Complex Rehab Board.
Charlotte, tell me about your job, your work in CRU, what do you do?
So yeah, I'm one of the occupational therapists, so I guess our main focus is around function. People often wonder what OT is, and I guess the main difference in our speciality, yeah, is to think about what's preventing a patient from being able to do the things that they were doing before they came into hospital, and then thinking about how we can help them to engage in those activities and occupations that are important to them.
What kind of patients are you seeing?
Oh, we see a variety of patients. Brain injury patients. We might see patients with spinal injuries. We see a lot of Guillain-Barré syndrome patients.
So there's the physical as well as the cognitive.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess that's the difference between like an OT role, isn't it? So we're thinking about function, but we're thinking about like what thinking skills someone needs to have to be able to engage in those activities. And again, thinking about like the physical elements of being able to engage in those things as well. And we see a variety of patients. We obviously the significance of the brain injury can be quite different.
Yeah.
I've recently rotated from Lipton ward, so we're dealing with quite a lot of PDOC patients. Heard of PDOC, so prolonged disorder of consciousness. So we're looking at like awareness levels and their ability to interact with the environment. So the role there is a lot different to what it is here, the complex rehab board.
It's a lot of observation, isn't it, in that role? Like seeing them have different types of therapy so that you can see their ability.
Yeah, and it can be very different. So we're thinking about what's really important to them. So it can range from things like doing personal care, things like if someone was really passionate about gardening, we might look at that. Then adapting the task to suit the patient. So it might need to grade it to make it something that they can engage in. Or we might be looking at like any community skills. And again, when we're thinking about our low awareness patients, thinking about communication in the same way, but at a different level, I guess. So we're looking at like object recognition. We're looking at any sort of functional communication and whether they can do any of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's quite a wide range.
And it is, yeah.
Going from that hyperacute rehabilitation ward to the complex rehabilitation unit here, just across the way, is there quite a difference?
Yeah, there is. I think on Lipton ward, so we're dealing with your PDOC patients, so your lower awareness patients. And then again, I mean, there's different levels at CRU. So you've got like your level one patients who, again, are maybe not as able, who are just starting their journey in rehab. And then you've got your level two patients. So they're patients who are tolerating a higher intensity of rehab. So it's really quite different. And that's why OT is so important.
Mm. You mentioned there about how you adapt the task to the person.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, when they see a task in their day to day, they adapt to the task. So it really is flipping people's thinking and that patient's thinking even of how to approach something that was very easy now has a challenge for them.
Yeah, well, there's two like approaches you can use in rehab. So there's like the relearning. So we're thinking about, is it something that we think the patient's going to be able to achieve in the future? Or actually, do we think that maybe they're not going to progress any further? So do we look at compensatory, looking at how we can adapt the task to meet their needs? So are we using adaptations to support them? Or are we, using like cues and stuff like that to support them? Again, just to increase their independence in the task, however that may be.
Everybody that comes through your ward, your unit is different and has to be approached in a very specific way to them.
Yeah.
Why occupational therapy for you?
Oh, good question. I didn't really, when I left school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And one of my teachers said to me that I'd make a good OT.
Really?
So I spoke to my mum about OT, read a little bit more about it, and she was like, that's what your auntie does.
Oh,
I had
no
idea. So she was like, why don't you go and spend some time with your auntie? So, or my aunt. So I did that, and enjoyed it. And then I applied for the course and got on the course. Yeah.
So are you doing a job now that is very similar to what your auntie was doing, or?
No, so she works in hand therapy, rheumatology. So yeah, quite different. Because of the skills, I guess, we've got, there are lots of different avenues that we can go down. And she's gone down a very specialist area now.
Very
so
specific.
She's doing things like steroid injections and stuff
okay.
like that.
So it does have, again, shows how wide remit
yeah.
occupational therapy is.
Yeah.
Where did you study occupational therapy?
At Liverpool. So I'm actually from South Wales.
Oh, right.
Yes, and I've completely lost my accent. So I've studied in Liverpool and stayed here since. It was quite far at first. I was like a bit worried about leaving like Wales to come to Liverpool. But my mum was really encouraged by the course as well, because when we went to visit her, their approach to the course is very different. So it's treated similarly to a job. So you're there from 9 till 5 every day. And I'm someone who needs that like practical side of it as
yeah.
well. So for me, it was like the best sort of course, because I went to like look at the different ones and just felt that would be, yeah, the best for me. It sets you up then, doesn't it, for work and life as well. But I absolutely loved coming to Liverpool at the best time, yeah. And thinking about like OT and how, as we've just said, it can be so varied.
Mm.
I think that having that like experience of going out and I guess look at, you know, seeing how OT can apply it in many different ways.
What made you think neuroscience, the Walton Centre?
Yeah, so I did a rotation at Brightington, Wigan and Lee, and did a part of the rotation was going to Taylor Unit. So again, that was a rehab setting and really enjoyed it. And then post came up here, so I applied for that.
Amazing. And how long ago was that?
Oh, I don't know. I think about 8 years.
Eight years?
Here for
wow.
Quite a while. Yeah. I've been here for a little while.
And what's your career been like?
Oh, I absolutely love my job. I think we're very, very lucky here because it's such a specialist hospital. There's so many opportunities for learning. So, yeah, I've had a really good experience working here. I think we're really lucky with the team that we have. Mm. Everyone's there to help each other and, again, like progress and develop our learning. There's so many learning opportunities here as well, which is encouraged, which is what you need when you're working in such a specialist area.
I always find coming into one of the therapy's offices, it's always a nice experience, because even if someone's lost, you guys are going to be so kind and helpful, and you're always talking and talking to each other as well. You know, like I imagine when you have difficult cases, you're able to really draw on that group knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In the office, so there's a few AHPs. So we've got like physio in there, speech and language are there, psychology.
Mm.
So it's a really good team, actually. And just, yeah, being able to work closely with them, that's not something I've, you know, something I've been exposed to in
yeah.
other settings that I've worked in. But again, it comes back to how complex our patients can be sometimes and
totally.
The needs that the patients have.
So what kind of challenges, what kind of things do you think are a challenge to occupational therapy generally?
It's a difficult one. I think people's understanding of us is getting better.
Yeah.
People become more aware of OTs. But again, there's not as many of us that as what you'd see with like maybe other professions such as physios. And I think there's real scope for us to be included in those things when we're thinking about developing any new services. Yeah, I think that is one of the challenges, being known. We have so many transferable skills where we could apply those in different roles. So yeah, we know that one of our managers has got like the AHP lead. There's a few OTs that have gone into like rehab coordinator jobs.
So that operational opportunities as well as the actual profession of
yeah.
occupational therapy.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Speaking to some other people in other departments, you know, with other specialisms, they say sometimes because it's such a specialist occupation, that can be a challenge.
No, I think it can be quite hard to recruit into like, do you mean into an OT role?
Yes, yeah.
yeah.
Here
yeah,
at the Walton Centre or generally, yeah.
And I think that's just changing anyway. Like, I was having a conversation with Abby, she's the OT lead, and she was talking about some of the difficulties with the unis filling the OT course.
Right.
So it starts from there, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, again, it comes back to people not really knowing much about OT, and then maybe feeling like it's, you know, not something that they can do because of how different it is and how highly skilled we are.
Mm.
And definitely, I think the Walton Centre, sometimes people have that threat, don't they? They think, like, it's such a specialist hospital, like, I can't work there. But as we know, like, there's so many learning opportunities here, and it's a great place to work.
Talk to me about, like, your passions and the job. Like, what gets you up in the morning?
I think we can, like, really draw on sort of any positive experience that we have. So when patients make progress, like, that's a really nice thing, isn't it? And I think that the team, I think, as well, to be honest with you, I think we're so well supported here, and just amongst ourselves, and any challenges we do face, we face them together. And I think that helps as well. So I like how adaptable our job is. As we were saying, how, you know, one minute we can be seeing someone who is a PDOC patient who's in low awareness, and then being able, next minute, taking the patient to a shop, like being able to access the community is a really exciting thing for us.
Okay, Charlotte, we're going to do the quick fire round. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep, go.
What would you be if you weren't an occupational therapist?
I think it would be some other sort of caring role.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's very much sort of healthcare-based.
Yeah, working with people.
What's your biggest hobby?
I don't know. Seeing family and friends. It's not really a hobby, but I love them for coffee.
A social butterfly.
Yeah, that's me.
Have you got a favourite song?
Do you want to know what I was listening to this morning?
Absolutely.
My current favourite song.
Go on.
Ed Sheeran. What's it called? Oh, no.
I'm not an Ed Sheeran fan.
Stop. I was listening to it this morning. It was so good.
Have you got a favourite book?
No, I'm more of like an autobiography person.
Go on. Any good ones?
No, this is really embarrassing, Sam. Currently, I'm reading Britney Spears.
Does she explain why she went bald?
Well, to be honest, I think we know that. Like, if you watch documentaries and stuff like that on there, there's probably nothing in there that, like, we don't already know.
Favourite film?
Oh, I'm such a girly girl. It's probably Bridesmaids, something like that.
I mean, I have watched that many times.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
But you can't beat, like, an old classic, like Dirty Dancing, something like that.
Excellent choices. Favourite animal?
I've got a dog, so I feel like I have to say a dog.
Well, you don't have to say a dog.
I think a dog, yeah.
Food you love?
Don't know. I like to eat out. I like lots of different foods.
Someone cooking for you. That's what I like.
Basically. I like a lasagna.
Food you hate?
Mushrooms.
Ooh.
Not into mushrooms.
No? The texture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fungus, aren't they?
What's the best thing to happen to you?
My son.
Oh.
Yeah. Got a little boy, he's two, Freddie.
Something very few people know about you.
I'm from Wales. You know, that's often something people don't know about me. They think I'm from Liverpool because I'm accent. But I'm actually from South Wales and I speak Welsh.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I've lost my confidence in it now.
Yeah.
Obviously not being there.
Like, whereabouts in South Wales?
Pontypridd.
Ah, lovely. Mm-hmm. What a lovely part of the world.
Yeah. So that's an interesting part about me.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thank you.
How has the profession changed?
See, I'm talking, I'm doing like the flip side now. So I think there's definitely more of us. And I do feel like we are more known in society than what we were. But I think there's still some room for positive changes and development and stuff like that. Mm. It's changed quite a lot, hasn't it? Like when I first qualified, we were using like paper notes and all those sorts of things. And a lot of our assessments we were doing were paper-based ones. Whereas now, like, society's changed, isn't it? We're all on computers and stuff like that, and including so many like apps and stuff like that into our role. Especially when we think about our younger patients, our phones are all we know, aren't they? So it's massively changed in that way, and it makes it quite exciting actually as well, because there's always some new developments with apps and things like that, but then that can make the job quite challenging sometimes, trying to keep up to date with like the newest things, resources, apps that we're using.
And it makes me think about stories I've done before with the CRU and how some of the apps can really bridge that gap between clinician and patient.
So the idea of that is that the patients are given an iPad and all their sessions and stuff be on there. Any exercise programs that they're using can be uploaded on there.
Right, okay.
Which I guess the idea of it is to make the patient a little bit more in control of the rehab. Call Vera. So yeah, so it's evolving and stuff like that as well.
The activities
table. The interactive
table
board.
In CRU's day room.
Yeah, it's brilliant that.
Because they can play games on it, but then they can also do like apps and things on there.
Well, I guess what it depends what we're working on, doesn't it? If we're working on someone's balance, and there's someone who is really techie and enjoys games and stuff like that, then we can work on standing and dynamic standing balance, doing a task like that. There's also some other good ones for cognition on there. So if we're looking at someone getting better at like planning, and prioritising and stuff like that. Yeah, there's apps on there that we can use as well. Yeah. So
software really has come along then in terms of supporting you in your role.
Yeah, definitely. We do a lot of like sessions just on patients using their phones and stuff like that as well, because that's not something that we would have ever have considered before, but phones is such a massive part of our lives now. Like everything,
like you said,
everything we do and own is on our phones, isn't it? Like
it's just how connected people are with that smart tech in their pocket, isn't it?
Yeah.
But incorporating that into how you approach a patient and how you help them. Where do you think the profession's headed then? You said about more awareness and get people to join the profession, but where do you think it's headed, or where should it be heading?
I think it would be nice to just be able to go into any service and just have an OT representation there. schools, like job centres, like
this. So having that visibility in those spaces, you think it could be better?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we think about any service developments within the Walton Centre, there's been some discussions around like setting up a spasticity pathway.
Right.
So it's really important that there's an OT representation on there, because we're thinking about, you know, function, and if someone's not able to engage in activities that are really important to them because of spasticity problems, then there should be an OT on there, yeah. For me, it's about being recognised, OTs being recognised, being valued and considered to develop in a service, or whether we're thinking about, like, you know, a specialist role.
And really having that multidisciplinary approach consistently is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, because we're so holistic as well, like, so important, and we've got so many transferable skills.
What are your key takeaways that you want people to have?
Get to know what OT is and always consider us. I think that's it.
Thank you for listening to NeuroStories. You can listen to more episodes on Spotify and stay up to date with the latest news and events from the hospital on our social media channels at the Walton Centre on Facebook and Instagram, and at Walton Centre on X. Got feedback? Email the communications team at wcft.communications@nhs.net. This podcast was recorded, edited, and hosted by Sam Fleet from the Walton Centre's communications team.